If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We are going to be back in just 1 minute to talk to Ked and Brad about Illinois' victory over Maryland, 85-80. In one of the weirdest games we've seen in a long time. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. That's 800-218-4958.
Welcome to this segment. This is Mike Kegley here. We are here, of course, with Kedrick Prince, as promised. Kedrick, that game was aesthetically brutal to watch, but I don't blame the Maryland players or the Illinois players. I got to be honest with you. It's really hard thing to do what these refs did tonight. They called 47 fouls and managed to really not have control of the game very well. And we saw, you know, 65 free throws shot. Brutal game for the fan to watch. And I got to think that the players didn't have a lot of fun either.
No, and I know people don't like for us or a lot of people complain about the officiating. But you saw, if you were home watching the game and you weren't there, it was the third most fouls in a Big Ten game. It was ugly. I mean, you mentioned the players. I felt bad. I mean, I was telling you and I were talking before the air. I think the worst call of the whole night, there was tons of them. But Coleman Hawkins' fourth foul, if you fall over and you look like you get hit, just fall over. They're going to call a foul. I mean, Coleman ran away from the guy and turned his body, and then the guy fell over. It was Dante Scott, and got the foul. I'm sitting there watching the game because everybody knows it's my favorite. I love college athletics, but the officiating just takes it away from me. It was not. I mean, imagine playing the game but not knowing how to defend it, what to do, what's a foul and what's not a foul. I mean, Marcus Domas goes up and gets hit. you know, shooting a ball, you don't get it, but down the it's hard. And I mean, I don't want people to tell me it's hard to officiate the game. Get better at it. It's your job. If I don't do my job with you guys, you're going to replace me. If I don't do my job at the high school, my boss is going to replace me. Damn it, do the jobs.
Yeah, and I will say it went both ways. I mean, Reese's fourth foul, I'm not certain there was any contact on that.
It wasn't.
You know, I mean, you just have to feel sorry because that kid gets fouls called on him all the time. He's like, geez, the one time I'm not fouling, I get a foul called on me. And so that had to be frustrating for him. And you, like I said, you feel for these kids because they're in front of, you know, 12, 15, 20,000 people trying to do the best they can. And it's almost like they're walking around in the dark with a blindfold on trying to figure out, you know, what they can do and what they can't do. And
Mike, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I mentioned this on a podcast before or not. If I did, I apologize. I remember early in the season there when the Big Ten officials, right before the half, they walk over, they put the ball on the counter, and they grab an iPad. And every call that they think is questionable, they go back, and there's a mental note, and they go watch it before the game is over. So I don't know if people realize it or not, but I don't know if they're still doing it. I know for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 games I went to down in Champaign, they were doing that. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because you're right, the father, Reese, got the foul. I think, I don't know if he was reaching across Coleman's body, never touched them. I want to know what they have to think. And then that's why it's tough for, you know, the announcers and the play-by-play guys to, you know, and the color guys to say anything because officiating is so bad. You know, if you say the wrong thing, one fan base is going to get mad. I've called out a couple myself. I'm not going to pretend that I didn't. But I will prefer they do it. The one guy who will really do it more than anybody is Steve Bartle. He'll tell you, I watched the Iowa game today. And if it's a bad call, he has no problem saying that.
Yeah, although he gets a little overzealous on trying to prove he's not biased for the Illini. But, yes, I think he does a good job. We're done with the refs. I don't think they gave either team an advantage, but it was just brutal to watch. And if you look year after year at the top 25 recruits, the Big Ten isn't getting their fair share anymore. Now, we know that Overtime Elite and the G League are certainly taking their fair share of these guys. But I also think from covering recruiting, you know, I did a few of the EYBLs this summer and the prior summers, and I've also done some Under Armour high-level stuff. And there just is, the fact of the matter is, there just is a lot of selling that SEC, ACC, Big 12 coaches do about if you don't want to play in that league and deal with this, come play with us and you can use your athletic skills. And tonight was tough because it was hard for guys to get out and use their skills. But anyway, let's talk about Terrence Shannon. I thought he had a really good night. I was a little concerned. He's been shooting his threes with a really bad base, and he's got this little flare on his feet right now. His three, he doesn't look comfortable. It's a little off. But beyond that, he was constantly attacking the basket. He hit, you know, his free throws at the rate you would expect him to, 14 for 16. And he causes a team like Maryland, who is an excellent rebounding team. They out-rebounded the Illini by 5, but it could have been worse. But they have to drop a guy back to make sure that Terrence doesn't get behind him. I thought he had an excellent game.
He did. And you know what? To me, the shots that he missed tonight, it stunk because I believe as a team, they were 5 for 20. He didn't have a great night shooting, but he has been shooting the cover off the ball. And maybe when they go to Penn State, he'll get that back. Sometimes make shots like that. I know Luke didn't make any tonight, or at least I don't believe he did. And so he just have those nights. But a good player would do what Terrence did. You get to the rim, you get a couple layups, and you get to the free throw line. You know, and you score points. You said it was 12 for 14 or something like that from the line or close to it. That's how you continue to score. You don't want to just be stagnant and be one-dimensional and just say, okay, if I don't get threes, I can't score. I don't know. It could have just been one of those nights. I mean, I know I'm not going to worry about the team because I think they're a good three-point shooting team overall. I mean, this is one of the better teams that we've seen. all the guys that can shoot it, you know, other than Ty, that play a lot, and Dane. So, but I'm not worried about that because he did a pretty good job defensively, you know, on Young as well. But the problem was he got to the free throw line, you know, and Terrence blocked his shot a couple times. So he was the deciding factor probably why they lost to Champaign, Mike.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I did think, you know, it was interesting. Illinois was – they lost the battle in the paint 44-36 in terms of points. But that gap was a lot higher early. And I thought when the Illini started, basically, they looked at what Young was doing and said, well, we should attack the basket too. And they were very effective and really closed the gap. And I think combination of attacking the paint and then, as you said – they shot 88.9%. They were 32-36 from the free throw line. And a combination of being aggressive to take the ball into the lane and then making those free throw opportunities was really what, in my opinion, what won them the game, as it was a 5-point win and the free throws, made free throws, were a gap of 8. You could argue that decision to go into the paint to not overshoot the 3 won the Illini a game tonight.
Mike, you know what? I think you said they had been shooting 65. Illinois had been shooting 65% from the line. Tonight was a big night, you know, where you needed those free throws. You know, another guy who's really improved his free throw shooting, who don't get a lot of credit for, is Coleman Hawkins. I mean, I feel confident every time he walks to the line now. Early in his career, he was like a 60-something percent free throw shooter. He's got to be close to 75-80% right now. And at the end of the game, you want guys like that. Another guy, you know, we don't know a lot about because he's only been there a year, is Justin Harmon. He's a good free throw shooter, you know. And for all the people that was, you know, questioning Brad Underwood, you know, at the Michigan State game when he had Ty Rogers on the bench and Lou Goody in the game, and people were worried about free throw shooting. Ty knocked down 2 big free throws late in game tonight and didn't even hit the rim. So if he's going to play defense like that and he's going to make free throws at crunch time, and he and Luke Goody both are at 65%, I'm going to go with Ty because Ty can rebound and he can play defense.
Yeah, and that's not a knock on Luke Goody. It's just that Ty does a couple things a little better.
Let's go. We got to get in the house.
And of course, the other part is you know, Illinois is now – they've raised their free throw percentage up to 73.2. And again, it was an excellent night to go darn near to 90. A couple other people really came into play. Domas scored his 2,000th point tonight. Ended up with 19 points. 12 rebounds, 3 assists, two hits to the face. You know, he had a heck of a night as well. What did you think of his performance?
Marcus is just solid, Mike. I mean, he does everything right. You know, he's a tough competitor. You know, I had a lot of people say to me earlier that how tough of a player he was and how physical he is. And he doesn't back down from competition. And the thing that I remember Brad Underwood telling us during media day, and I thought it was kind of strange. He's like, you just can't speed this guy up. And then we were going around the room and asking about certain players, and a lot of the players said, yeah, we like him because he doesn't play too fast. There was times tonight when I thought the team was going to go fast. He just took the ball himself and slowed the team down to make sure that they got a good look. I just think he's solid, and I think he is undervalued because there's so many other stars in the league. But without him, man, Illinois is not where they are without him. I was sitting there thinking, and I don't know, we've seen it without Terrence, but I really wonder what this team would be like if Marcus wasn't playing. If he wasn't on the team, if he was the guy that was missing 4 or 5 games, because he is such a valuable asset to this team. And the way he scores and the one shot he shot tonight, we were talking about officiating. I don't know how it went in, but he's just a strong kid. Last week I was in Champaign. You know, they got beat against Michigan State on the road at 10 o'clock the next morning. He was in Champaign working out with Coach Anderson. The guy is a competitive player. He's a really good kid to have on your team. You know, I talked to his parents a few weeks ago. They're just enjoying the ride. You know, this is something that they didn't expect. Their son's on the big stage. He's playing Big Ten basketball. He's loved by his teammates, and he's good.
Yep. So Brad Sturdy came in. Brad, Any thoughts about this game? What jumped out at you? You've been covering Illini sports like Ked for 20 years. But what jumped out at you after this?
It was an odd game. I mean, there's just no – I thought it was – and I don't know that it was necessarily a one-sided officiated game. It was just really oddly officiated.
Like, yes, I agree.
You didn't know – if you reached in one time, it was a foul. The next time you could hit the ball and get a foul. And it wasn't a foul. I mean, it just bizarre. And then the body contact was there, and then it wasn't there. And then down the stretch, it was like, yeah, we're going to let him play. No, we're going to call ticky-tack fouls for the first 16 minutes of the second half, and then we're going to let him play. I don't know. It was just odd. And then the way, you know, DeMoss gets hit in the face twice, once with the, you know, he gets the black eye. He's going to have a shiner,
yes,
on our radio show this week. So, I don't know. It was just bizarre. I mean, I can't understand, you know, how they officiate. And I don't know. It's got to be hard for players to play too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I thought they did. One thing I'll say is I didn't like the defense overall because Maryland's not great and they scored 80 points, right?
Yes.
Not a great offensive team. They're a very good defensive team. I love the offense. There's all I'll say. Terrence Shannon in the second half was fantastic on Jameer Young. Most of, you know, and that is so important to get him back to being able to guard. Young had 13 points in the second half, but he took 14 shots to get those 13 points. He didn't get other guys involved. Shannon blocked his shot a couple times. I really thought it was huge to see him in the second half. Now, the one thing I can't understand, Illinois has to understand that Dont'a Scott had 15, Julian Reese had 8, and Jameer Young had 13. That's 36 points of their 42, and Long threw in a 3 at the end, that, you know, whatever.
Right.
So 36 of their 39 points there in that run were by those guys. I mean, guard them. Like, I mean, I don't understand why they don't leave the other guys. They kept leaving those guys. I mean, when they'd post-trap, they'd, you know, leave Young, and then they'd close out too hard. But, man, it was just an odd game. Illinois, every time they'd get a 7-point lead, it was like bad news because they got up 7. They were going to do something stupid, like, immediately, whether it was a foul, whether it was a turnover, whether it was a bad shot.
I was keeping track of that on Twitter, too, because, you know, it would be like, oh, bad that possession. We had a chance to go up by 9. But we did this possession. And a lot of times, you know, it's like you need to get stops, but they were actually getting some stops, and then the offense decided to go in the deep freeze. Now, the interesting thing you brought up is Young, you know, he had 15 points in the first half, but he did it on 9 shots. So much better half in the first half. And then when you look at the overall score, if you take Young, Reese, and Scott out of it, the rest of the team scored 17 points. So,
well, and Young was 8 for 23 from the floor. I mean, that's not a bad, if you make that guy shoot 8 for 23, if they hadn't fouled him so much,
right?
I think they would have been better off. And, you know, man, I don't know. I just thought they really did a good job. What I'd like to see though, I love Terrence Shannon, 27 points, 14 of 16 from the line. There are two things. At some point, he's got to rebound the basketball when you're 6'6" and athletic as he is, yep, on the defensive end. And then the second thing he's got to do is he's got to stop shooting threes that aren't in rhythm. Like, get to ball, you know, especially when you can get to the rim. I mean, like he can. I mean, he had opportunities to go to the rim and he's taking threes. Man, but I really love the way they played offensively, though. 85 points, 1.25 points per possession against the number 7 defense in the country is just, I mean, elite. They're up to 8th on KenPom, 4th offensively. I mean, that's good stuff.
One of the things I wanted to ask you a little bit about, Brad, was what was Willard doing at the end there when they chose not to foul, let 20-something seconds go off the clock, and then went ahead and foul anyway?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You're in a game, you're down by 2 possessions. You're a 2-possession game. In the final minute, you have to foul because they're going to take it down under 30 seconds. You have to foul in that situation. And the craziest part is then if you're not going to foul, you almost pack it in and let him shoot it because you can't foul. You can't foul with one on the shot clock. Like, there are two on the shot clock. They fouled with 19.6 to go when the ball came in with 48 seconds to go. I'm stunned. I have no idea what he was thinking. And some people said, well, he thought it's a two possession game if they make free throws. But it's two threes. And if Illinois hadn't been boneheads and left the guy open for a three, which was just bizarre when you're up by six with 10 seconds to go. But regardless, it's not even a thing down the stretch. So I don't know what he's thinking. I didn't listen to his post game to see what he said, but he has to be thinking, well, I think I screwed up. I mean, I don't know what you say. I mean, I don't know how you defend that, from any kind of basketball analytics, shot clock math, any way you look at it, nothing made sense to me.
Well, I just look talking as a brain cramp, because sometimes as coaches, yes, they're being paid millions of dollars. We've seen it with Lovie Smith on the football field before. Sometimes they just make mistakes, and I bet if he had to do it all over again, he would have, because Robbie Hummel was kind of taken back by it as well. Not taken back, but he was surprised by that same situation. So I get it. Sometimes that happens.
Hey, kid, there's five assistant coaches now. So they got five assistant coaches and a head coach, and nobody thought, hey, we should probably foul. You know what I mean? Like, it's stunning. I don't know.
It really is. No, I agree with you. And I you know what's going to happen? They're going to have a staff meeting, and one coach is going to say, Coach, I was trying to tell you, but you didn't want to hear me.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Well, and then another thing, Brad, your thoughts on a coach catching the ball while they have a foot on the court. Can you, as a coach and a referee and an athletic director, any thoughts on the rules that you might want to explain to people?
Well, that's like a no-no. And I know they let it slide because I don't think they thought Shannon was going to get the ball. And they may be right. I don't think he was. But regardless. And we saw the Shaka Smart clip where he's literally playing defense. We've seen this clip. We've seen Izzo run out on the court. We've seen all these coaches get on the court too much. And it's silly. You don't need to be on the court. Stay off the floor. I mean, and I'm a guy, I'm one of those guys that was up the sideline, but I would never be on the court because I never wanted to have that be a factor in determining a game. And here's the sad part. A high school official is more apt to call a technical or call something on that than these guys do because they don't want to call that. But these guys will call like some random taunting call, like boom, towards the crowd. But we don't call that stuff. It just doesn't, it's just, there's no flow. It's just silly. And until they start doing things to them, why would a coach stop? Why would they stop? Why would you stop?
You know what? Today, I don't know if you guys saw the Iowa game today, but Freeman got fouled late in the game. And he was excited because he got fouled. Slammed the ball down. Not mad at the official. I mean, he got the foul call for him. And he got teed up because they had to do it. Well, if you have to do that, if the coach is on the court, and I'm really sorry. I mean, yes, you don't want to say anything the whole time, but it's a technical foul. I mean, I'm sorry. And, it's not like what sport is it? Oh, in football, when you throw the ball and the pass is, 7,000 feet in the air and the offensive player couldn't catch it. It doesn't work that way. He was on the court and then Terrence tried to get it. My point is, you're right. The officiating is really, really bad. In the Big Ten, and we've heard that forever. My concern is, though, I mean, like, and Mike, I know you're hosting this podcast, but here's my concern, guys. I know Brad Underwood's an analytical guy, but I'm just concerned about giving up so many points because their thing is, right now, it kind of looks like they just want to outscore people. And in the tournament, I mean, they were 5-for-20 from three tonight, and if you have a cold night from shooting the free throw line, that's not going to end well. I'm worried about where they are. Now, I know statistically they may look good, but, I mean, for the eye test to me, the Michigan State loss and the way they let Maryland get back in the game today, I just have some concerns with that.
Isn't this the battle that we always have? If it works, you want to repeat it. If it doesn't work, you want to stop doing it. And Illinois is winning games, but you can see the way that it might backfire on them. Brad, you have to deal with people second-guessing you all the time, no matter what your record is. as a coach. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Here's my thing. I feel like there's something that's missing on the just on the defensive end. Like
me too. I don't get it. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's like if they play great defense, then they don't get the rebound. I mean, you've seen that. You saw that today. Maryland grabbed 14 offensive rebounds today. They had 14 offensive rebounds, and they had 17 second chance points, and that's usually an Illinois thing. So somehow, and it wasn't just like Reese doing it. I mean, it was Jameer Young had offensive rebounds, and Smith.
Scott had one.
Yeah, Scott had offensive rebounds.
Yeah, because that was the one when Justin Harmon was mad at him. Justin was mad at himself for not getting the rebound. It was late in the game. Yeah.
It's really weird. I mean, so I guess that's me. I'm like trying to figure out, well, so if we're not going to – and then when they, you know, they give up some easy shots to the rim. You know, today they did a better job of contesting, I thought. I thought, of getting in position, you know, a little bit defensively. But they still – if you give up 14 offensive rebounds and 17 second chance points, that's not a recipe for winning very often. But at the same time – this is they have to find a way to get a stop and get the rebound. Because here's the thing, defense. You know, we talked about defense getting that rebound is the end of the possession. You know what I mean? So you have to close out the possession. If you don't close out possession, you might as well not play good defense. It's pointless. I mean, you just give them another shot. And if Illinois gets a few of those offensive rebounds or defensive rebounds today, they win this game going away. They win handily. Yep. It seemed like every time that Maryland needed offensive rebound, they got it.
Yeah, I think – and it seemed like every time, you know, the Illini needed an extra basket, you know, that's when they decided, you know, I'm going to shoot from the three early, or I'm going to shoot a contested three, or, you know, and it was like they just – that 7-point barrier, it's so funny because to me, I'm not certain that that's killer instinct, but this team has trouble closing out games ahead of time. And what I mean by that is when you have the opportunity to put somebody down, you know, this is like what makes a good fighter is the ability to when they see the opportunity for the KO, to go in and get it. Not that you can call it, you know, you can't say, okay, I'm going to knock a guy out in 253 of the seventh round. But when you see the opportunity, you do it. And the one thing, I don't know if they don't see the opportunity or they freeze up, but it seems like when you got these chances to put teams away, Michigan State's the best example of it, the opportunities just kind of pass through their fingers.
Yeah, and I think some of it's like, so I'm going to take, I agree with you completely. I'm going to take a little bit of a different angle, though.
Okay.
Sometimes they go for the knockout punch before they need to go to the knockout. Like Shannon's trying to shoot a three to try, or DeMass taking a three. When you have an opportunity to run a little offense and get a great, because here's the thing. They got whatever shot they wanted today against Maryland's defense. Against this elite Maryland defense, they got whatever they wanted. I mean, they were... Maryland didn't really stop them hardly at all unless Illinois stopped themselves. So if you're in that situation, don't take that quick step back three or one pass three when you can know you can get a better one or get the same shot late in the shot clock. And so that's kind of my thing where they stop doing what got them to where they are, and they go for the knockout too soon and they lose their balance. And then the other guy tags them on the other side. So since we're doing boxing references, you know, we lose, you know, we take the big swing and then get hit with Apollo's just stinging jabs at us, right?
Exactly.
And we're like Foreman. They're like trying to be Foreman against Ali. So
it's Terrence or Marcus that's trying to go for that knockout kill, if that makes sense. Because I get it. Because they're leaders and neither one of those guys are afraid. Tonight I saw someone was kind of cool. Marcus Domas went to the basket. He didn't make it. Missed it again. Second time not a court again to Terrence Shannon to try it.
You know, I mean, I know Coleman Hawkins has gotten better between seasons. You know, he gets better, you know, in the off season between. But I actually think as good as he is, he's getting better in the middle of the season in terms of the confidence when he takes shots, going to the free throw line and executing. Are you guys seeing that in terms of Coleman's not the, you know, just seems to be growing by leaps and bounds here.
It's not just a 3-point shooting. Yeah, he's not. And if people think that's because he's shooting threes well, Mike, I told you before, excuse me, we started the podcast. Look at his free throw percentage for his first 2 or 3 years compared to this year. And he's automatic. He's confident. He knows the offense. He doesn't have to force anything. And for the first time in his career, not just shooting threes, he's able to, for the first time ever, we've seen him play since the time he got on campus, all three of us. I've never seen him put the ball on the floor the way he has put it on the floor this year and able to finish and make layups and convert them. He's always missed them, shot them off the wrong leg. That fade back shot, I've never seen him make it until this year. He looks as confident, and he looks different. He looks, you know, he's playing into himself, into the NBA role. And I'll tell you, he's going to be a kid to me, I really think. Now, I'm not saying he's Io because Io was a 20-point game scorer. I'm comparing him to Io because I think Coleman's going to be a late round second pick, and some team's going to pay for that. I think you look at his game, the way the NBA is played, it is perfect for him. Because if you get a guy who can defend like that and shoot threes as well as he can shoot them, Coleman's going to score a lot of points.
Yep. Yeah. I go ahead, yeah. Brad.
So you look at, Ken, you mentioned this, 68%, 65%, 61%, and now 83% from the line. 3-point range, 23, 29, 28, 39.
There you go.
That's just massive improvement that we've seen. And we have said this for years, and nobody likes to, you know, people don't listen to us. The other part about him, look at his turnover rate, how much slower it is. He's not turning the ball over, making the silly plays as much. But, you know, some people talk about, I mean, I've gone to, and Ked, you have too. We've watched this kid shoot. We know he can shoot. But sometimes he would just take bad shots. You know what I mean? Like he's taking the step back threes, going to throw it on the floor three times before he shoots it, whatever. When he's wide open, he doesn't need to.
Yep, yep.
And so it's funny because, you know, we've been telling these people like, yeah, well, he can't really shoot. And Underwood's telling you he's an elite shooter, you know, because you see it in practice. I was telling somebody one time I watched him make 43 out of 50 doing a 10 shot at five spots around the world. He had 43 out of 50. It was just repeatable release. It's boom, 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 boom. And so now he's doing that. And now he's got confidence. He knows he's good. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's going to be the all Big Ten defensive player. I think he's going to be on one. I think only he's going to have three guys on the all conference teams. Coleman's going to be one of them. I don't know which team they end up on because who knows how they're going to vote Shannon. I mean, that's interesting.
I think they're going to keep him off unless the case is dropped.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll.
I'm not saying it's fair.
How can you do that with a guy second in the conference and scoring? I get what you guys are saying. I do because you saw it with some of the postseason awards already. But that is just so wrong. I mean, if he's playing in the games, and if these coaches have any kind of – because they coach. This kid could be on any one of their rosters. It's wrong to do to him. If he's not on first – I know he's second in the league in scoring. There's no way he's not. And you're going to tell me a guy's averaging 22 points a game, he's not on your all-Big Ten team. I tell you what, I think the coaches would do it. I think the media would be the people who wouldn't do it.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, I guess after I saw, you know, what I saw, you know, how he doesn't make a top 20 is just absolutely crazy. You know, it is what it is. I guess there's nothing to do about it. But, you know, I was surprised. So and especially, you know, them having a understanding of maybe what's going on and some of the nuances is a little bit disappointing. But as we found out, you know, national folks don't really pay attention to anything beyond the points per game and the headlines, which, you know, are admittedly, you know, there's some tough optics on that. Harmon played well another time, you know, 10 points on 6 shots. He tends to be in the middle of key things happening. Any thoughts on his play?
I thought he did a good job on Young in the second half as well. And I thought he just seems to make some winning plays down the stretch. He's not always pretty. But he seems to make enough plays, and he makes free throws. He's shooting 88% from the line, right? I mean, 91% from the line in conference play, 36% from three, and 46% from two in conference play. That's solid. He's been solid. He's a solid sixth man. You know, I don't know what more you could have expected from him. You know, he's better than he's been, and he's in a different role. He's put in a role where he can succeed at Illinois, where he's not a – huge usage guy. He's a lower usage guy who can come in. You know, they're still part of the team, but still doing some things, but he's been solid. I just don't even know how to, the one area where he struggles is sometimes, like, you know, like today when he left the guy up six, 12 seconds to go, Young stuck in the lane, and you leave and let the guy give up a three. You can't do that. You're smothering that guy. If he gets a two, he gets a two. Then you're still up two possessions. So that was a kind of a bonehead play, and he does a few of those defensively every now and then. But, man, I just don't know that you could have asked for more than you're getting from him. I think he's been fantastic for in his role. Now, I'm not saying he's like all Big Ten or anything like that. I'm just saying he fills the role, and he's content in that role.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't seem upset. You know what I want to see? It's, I just want to see one game before the season's over where they're all clicking together. Because, for the last couple of games, Luke Goody's been nowhere. He's been non-existent. I want to see him, the bench. I would really like to see Quincy catch fire again. Because this is a team that, like, a lot of people are picking as a dark horse because they can score and there's so many weapons. And I've said it before, I still think, because you're going to get it from Terrence, you're going to get it from Coleman and Marcus, you know, and Ty's going to give you what he's going to give you. But I really would like to see Quincy get up to 13 or 14 a game again and knocking down threes where he's looking to dunk on people, and then Luke coming in to give you three threes off the bench, and you're getting the same thing from Justin Harmon. So that's to me, and I know I'm asking a lot, but I know we've seen it before as well. I do think this team is very capable of going on the run, depending upon the matchups. You know, a lot of people were a little disappointed with what they got in seeding today, but I told people, I guess I can't be upset about it because they lost to Marquette at home, they lost to Tennessee at home. FAU's not one of the top five teams in the country anymore. I mean, and then they lost to Michigan State. They've lost some games that they should have won. If you would have won, maybe, I know Como's hurt against Marquette, you know, or maybe you go to Tennessee and, you know, and get a win. The more quiet wins you have, you don't put yourself in that situation.
So let's talk about, you know, the situation. Wednesday night, 5:30 Central time, folks. So if you're working till 5, you may have to hot rod at home. But 5:30 Central, Penn State. Brad, what can we expect? Because that's on the road. That's a place that let's be honest, Penn State's not quite the team that even Maryland is. But this is not an automatic win, is it?
No, it's not. They have a. Here's the thing. What's been the thing that gives Illinois trouble? It's either the little guards that can penetrate and do some things. And they have Ace Baldwin. And Baldwin can do that. Now, the one thing is, I don't think Penn State has the other guys around him that even a team like Maryland has that can do things. So I think that Illinois should be able to handle this one. But it is here's the problem with this, and it's a very sterile environment for basketball at Penn State. So you got to bring your own energy, because sometimes you get fired up. Like today, you could see guys get fired up because the Maryland had a pretty good crowd, much better crowd than they had the other night when they played against, I think it was Iowa, right? And they kind of came back at the end. It was half Iowa. Empty. Today, Saturday, packed house, they were into it. Illinois fed off that energy, I think, a little bit. They're not going to get that against Penn State. That's why I think sometimes good teams go in there, unless you put them away, they just kind of hang around and you just kind of go through the motions. Next thing you know, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then a guy like Baldwin can close out a game and beat you. That's where Illinois has to come with it all game long, really attack and do a good job against Penn State. Follow scouting reports, get to the right, you know, make sure they are defending Baldwin well. And if they do that, I think they'll be fine. But it is a little bit of a trap game, not a trap necessarily, but just a little bit of a game that's going to be tougher than maybe it looks like on paper.
They can't slip up and lose this. They've lost games at home to Maryland. I really think the worst loss for me of the season, me personally, it wasn't the loss of Maryland, it's losing to Michigan State. That's a quality program with a big name. It was a quiet one, you know, win that you let slip. You cannot go to Penn State and lose. And I'll tell you what, unless Terrence Shannon gets in foul trouble, I'm going to tell you, I expect him to put up 30. When I talked to him during the preseason, you know, during media day, he was the one player that marked a couple teams for me that he had that he wanted to go beat, and he was taking it personal, and it's Penn State because he's never beaten them. So he talked about how they were embarrassed last year playing them, so I expect a good game from him, his leadership, and hopefully he'll shoot the ball much better than he did from the perimeter tonight. But now, with 5, 6, 7 games left in the season, 7 games, you can't make mistakes and then lose these games. You know, like today, Wisconsin, it seems bad, but Iowa can score a lot of points, but it's in Illinois' favor because now if Illinois does make a mistake, they'll still be in second place. If you're in second place in the Big Ten, I think, even though it's not the greatest conference in the world this year, we can all pretend that it is. It's not. You know, it's really, if you really look at it now, I think there's only two teams who can make a run. I mean, I'm not sold on Wisconsin, and I really was at one point. I don't know if they're good enough to get it done.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. Brad, you know, you get, so you're looking down at, you got Penn State on Wednesday night, not an automatic win, but you think you should. Home games against Iowa and Minnesota, two games that you think you should win. And then pretty tough closeout. You play at Wisconsin, you play at home against number two Purdue, and then you close out on the road at Iowa, who, I don't care what anybody says, that is a battle no matter what. Is this Illinois team capable of moving to the three or even the two line?
They are. I mean, here's the thing. Win the games you're supposed to win. You know, beat Penn State, beat Iowa, beat Minnesota at home. I believe that's the next three, right?
Yep.
So you win those three games, and you're favored. You're heavily favored in all three of these games. You know, right. If you look on KenPom, you're 8-point favorite at Penn State and double digits against Iowa and Minnesota at home. So you win those three games, and you're 22-6. You've got a game at Wisconsin, a game at Purdue, and a game Purdue at home, and a game at Iowa. And basically the at Wisconsin, at Purdue, and at Iowa games are kind of coin flips. They're kind of favored at Iowa, but they're 1-point differences on KenPom. This is the thing. Now you just got to, you got to win those games. You got to win one of those games. I think if you split the at Wisconsin and Purdue, win at Iowa, win two of those three down the stretch, and win the three you're supposed to win, you're 5-1 down the stretch. You finish 15-5 in the Big Ten. And especially if one of your wins is against Purdue, I think that will elevate them to a three. I think it could move them up to a two, depending on how that plays out.
Right. Ted?
I do. I think, you know, late in the season, second half of the season, I marked a couple games on my calendar. Today was one, and the other one was Purdue. I think, you know, they let one slip away at Purdue without Terrence Shannon. I think playing at home, I think it's senior night. Illinois has a roster of 1,800 seniors, so I think they'll be motivated to play. They're old, and this game matters. I mean, this is going to be a big game. It's going to be a big stage, and it'll be a good marquee game for the Big Ten. Again, they lost on the road by 5 without Terrence, and, you know, I know Zach's going to get his, but I like the way Illinois is playing right now, and at home, knowing what's at stake and having a chance to beat them, it will move them up the line. One of the lines it has to be, because they've been one of the top teams in the conference, and there's no way they're going to leave a team off with Illinois. Now, I don't want to say resume because it's not the greatest, but they know talent-wise where they are. So I really think they could get Purdue. This is one that I've circled because I think, too, just from, you know, a social media standpoint, they need to be brought back down to reality a little bit, because I think it'd be good for them, too. Even though I do think Purdue's tough, I don't know if they're going to do well in the tournament, but Illinois' standpoint, to answer your question, Mike, they do. I mean, Purdue would be a big one, you know, like I said to you, and we go back to Penn State, they can't slip up. But that would be devastating.
Yeah, totally agree. So, Brad, your final thoughts here as we wrap up the show, looking with one eye on Penn State, and obviously there's other Big Ten games that we'll be watching as we go. And one other thing was watching today with the Iowa game. Boy, Owen Freeman looks good. Good kid, Illinois kid. I hate to see him doing well for Iowa, but a real class act. Your thoughts on, you know, that dynamic duo that Iowa has playing for them out of the state of Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously Iowa's can score. I mean, that's what they're good at. That's what they've always been good at. I think he's in a great position to succeed. I think what we lose sometimes, we lose sight of, is like, you know, and Owen Freeman's a really good player. I'm not diminishing what he's done, but I'm telling you, like, he would not be getting the opportunities on Illinois that he's getting on Iowa. Same with Brock Harding. They would not be getting the same opportunities. And, you know, Iowa's 15-11. They're fine. I mean, they're a bubble team. They are very good offensively. I don't know. They're probably got a long way to go, but you know, they've got, I think that Harding and Freeman are both guys that are really good players. They got a lot of potential to be good down the road. But I think that Freeman is a guy that would be a nice fit next year. If you didn't have, you know, if you, with the guys they're losing, he would have a hard time getting time because you're not going to take time away from Coleman Hawkins. I mean, right now, you know what I mean? That would be, you're going to play Coleman. So he wouldn't be getting 20 plus minutes a game at Illinois because, you know, it's just reality, but I think they're both good players. They fit the Iowa thing because they both struggle a bit on the defensive end. So, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, well, thanks. We can just score. We'll just outscore you.
Well, I have to agree with Brad. I mean, as good as he is, I'm a Steve Freeman, you're not taking Coleman off the floor, and Brad's not playing two bigs at the same time like that. I mean, in another scenario on another team, I can see that being possible. But you're right. You know, long term, he's going to have a positive impact on Iowa. I think if they continue, if they don't make the tournament and they don't win, they're going to have a hard time trying to keep him there because there's going to be a lot of people who would want a kid like that. I mean, he's had a successful career. Brock has not gotten the minutes that he wanted because he's playing behind Perkins. Kind of like the same thing with Draymond Gibbs-Lawhorn, playing behind an older guy, and I guess you have to wait your turn. And that's what's tough for freshmen today, having to wait. I mean, these teams are older now. The transfer portal has changed the game, and you can sit freshmen, and Brad has done it, and living proof that you can win by doing it.
Penn State, Brad, any other thoughts here as we close it down?
Yeah, I think, you know, Penn State, you know, they go as far as they're playing much better. They lost. They had a 5-game losing streak back in November, December. They're playing better, but they lost 3 in a row, 2 on the road. They lost Michigan State at home, competitive games. They gave Northwestern a tough game at Northwestern. Got rolled at Nebraska. Most people have been. But they've got a nice win over Iowa. They won at Indiana, won at Rutgers. So they're not a team that you can take lightly. Penn State, Kanye Clary is a nice player, and Ace Baldwin is the guy who kind of makes everything go. They're actually the guy who was, they've got a Wahab, who was at, came from Georgetown, right? Maryland and then Georgetown. He was actually, that's the strangest one because he went to Georgetown and then Maryland and back to Georgetown and then he went to Penn State. So he's like, 36 years old or something now. So no, 24. I think he's 24 literally. But you know, so they got a big guy in the middle. He's a little bit different. So they're going to be a team that is going to, they know that this is, they're just playing out the spring, hoping to make an NIT or something like that first year for Mike Rhodes. But Ace Baldwin is the guy. You got to make sure you slow him down, make it difficult on him to get it, initiate the game and make it tough. He doesn't turn the ball over. He scores at a pretty decent clip. And he's going to facilitate for everybody on that team.
Well, I can just say, Mike, real quick, you got to put them away early. The TV will make it look like there's a lot of people there. Maybe they'll fill up another couple of rows because Illinois is ranked, but the crowd's not going to be a factor. The women went in there the other day and got a win, and I think Penn State, they gave Iowa trouble on the road. They're 17-8, but the women went on the road, and it wasn't a factor for them. Now it's just a matter of gut check time, and the clock's ticking for a lot of these seniors, too. So, and it's that way for every team, but all these teams aren't going to be going to the tournament. Illinois is. If they want a better seed and they don't want to be playing against a team that they don't want to face the second or third round, then handle your business right now.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of those opportunities, a big game that you don't want to have to look back on. Of course, Illini fans have a little bit of a concern anytime we play Penn State after last season and, of course, the infamous – what was it, 38-33 or whatever the score was in the Weber era. We're all emotionally scarred from still, that.
Need to win there, put that out of behind.
Yes. Yes, we have to somehow at some point we need to hold Penn State in the 30s just to break the lock that they have on us mentally. But no, that was what we have this week for this game. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. Of course, you can get IlliniGuys.com, go to our website, 7 days free, and then you can decide if you want to stick around. Most people do. We've had a ton of people join during the basketball season. There's no one who's closer to the team than Brad and Ked. That is really important if you want to keep track of what's going on with the Illini as they make this potential run in the NCAA tournament. But we will be back, and we will be right here on Wednesday, and we will also, obviously, after the game on Saturday against Iowa, we will be there as well. So we'll hear you at least twice in the next week. We'll be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. And, of course, thank you to Brad and Ked for taking their time to talk to us about what they saw today. It is an exciting victory over a team that Illinois struggles to beat, whether it's home or away. A road victory is always good, but this was one of the sweeter ones that the Illini will get. On Wednesday night, they will have a chance to avenge quite a few losses to Penn State. That is an opportunity that Terrence Shannon Jr. is waiting for. It will be another exciting game. We will, of course, see you then. Until then, go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.